grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace has brought me safe this far, and grace will lead me home. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. Yea, when this flesh and heart will fail, and mortal life shall cease, I shall possess within the veil a life of joy and peace. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see.
Good afternoon, everyone. I'd like to welcome everyone as we celebrate Fred's life. I just have a few housekeeping items that I'd like to share with you. First one is everyone is invited to the fellowship hall for, we'll also have an opportunity for an open mic during the reception to share stories about Fred. For those of you who are new to visiting this church, I want to point out the restrooms. They're all located in the foyer.
Okay, so I'm going to help out with this song a little bit. I'm going to do a little sign language. We're going to do one of Fred's most favorite songs that he loved to do with the children. And I wanted to take a brief moment to let you guys know, if you didn't know, how fervently he prayed for and just versed up the children's ministry from the Sunday school classes all the way to the youth group. Fred would call me almost once a week, if not a couple times a week, just to tell me he was praying and to ask me what I needed. He said he would buy me groceries for the kids. He would take care of money if we needed money. And I don't know how many people know he did that. I don't know how many people know that he took the time every single week to step out of his life and to step into the lives of the children that were so abundantly touched by someone they never really got to see because they're here so late at night. He wasn't here during those times. So it is more than an honor for me to share this brief little sign language with you guys because it meant so much to him and it means so much to me.
And he never failed to sign when we did this song, so it touches us.
Jesus loves me.
Thank you. So, first of all, I'd like to thank the family for allowing me to be a part of this celebration. Fred was just an amazing man, and he will always have a place in all of our hearts moving forward, and I just want to thank you for that. So I'm going to go ahead and read his eulogy and kind of add a little bit of some of my memories with Fred. All of us, we were all family, just like, he had such a subtle sense of humor that it was hysterical. Okay, so the first paragraph here is, we start with Fred Oscar Relaford. He was born May 21st, 1937 in Placer County, California, to Ruth Oliver Dean Relaford and Fred Oscar Relaford. He was a younger brother of Mimi Ruth Dean. So for the first two or three years that I knew Fred, he would drop these little tidbits that he was named after his father. And it took me years to get it out of him that he was named directly after his father. And so once the light bulb went on, and he just kind of smiled at me like, okay, now you're getting it. He grew up in Nevada City, Nevada City area, after graduating from Nevada Union High School in 1955. We have to put that in perspective a little bit. He went on to earn his AA degree. He was a sailor in the United States Navy from 1958 to 1962, where he served on the U.S. Des Moines. Fred was so incredibly proud of being a vet. And he absolutely deserved all the respect in the world for his service in the U.S. Navy. And I want to convey how he earned that right. He was absolutely a true patriot to the United States. Another story that he had was that while he was serving on the Des Moines, President Dwight D. Eisenhower used the ship as transport to Europe. Again, this is Fred at his best, right? He would tell me this story about how he was escorting, you know, influential people on the ship. He didn't tell me for weeks that it was the president. Good old Fred, you know, just holding that, you know, close to the vest. He was married in June of 1964. He had two children. After a very difficult divorce, the family separated, and Fred moved in with his mother, Ruth, and her companion, Bert. They lived in the Auburn area, where he lived for a majority of his life. All the time I ever knew Fred, that's where he lived. Fred worked as a technician in several different state hospitals for over 36 years. He enjoyed his work and the many stories he shared. Again, Fred at his best. All he said is he worked in hospitals. He didn't, never in the beginning, he always had to earn my trust. And he always wanted me to kind of dig in and kind of get it out of him because he didn't want to share everything all at once. That's one of the things that I just loved, you know, about him. He was just so easy to talk to, and he just was amazing with all of his stories. He was a longtime member here at the church. Fred's faith was an integral part of his life and ours. He enjoyed participating in the worship services constantly. He would always give my wife and I, Jane, a bad time when he couldn't read the words up on the screen. He would pull us aside and he goes, you know, the sound was great, but I just can't read the words. And so we had to continually make them bigger and bigger so that Fred could read them and join into them. But Fred, he always sat in the back. I kept trying to tell him, you know, move closer. He wouldn't buy in it. He made us make the text bigger. He volunteered and participated in all of the children's Christmas services, which unfortunately we have no pictures of. So at some point in the future, if anybody has pictures of the Christmas programs where Fred was reading, he did it every year. He loved it, and he was just a treasure at that. He also, he dedicated, he was a blood donor. He joined the 50-gallon club, joined the 50-gallon club, right? We saw a few of those pictures up there, but there's several plaques in the back. I would highly recommend that anybody, you know, before we head over to Wayne Hall, that we go over and look at the table back there. There is just a working history of Fred's life back there, which you guys did an amazing job pulling out tidbits and everything of you know, all the accomplishments that he did. Another thing that happened here in this is that he was actually a bell ringer for the Salvation Army. That was another thing that he didn't share right off. He just said that he was donating his time with one of the local charities. And, you know, it's like, well, so, you know, so I had to talk to him like 2 or 3 weeks before he would actually come out and share that he was an actual bell ringer. And I said, I've never known anybody that rang a bell for the Salvation Army, so it was a privilege for me to finally find that out. But again, in his subtle, you know, way, he, you know, was just an amazing man. Traveling and seeing the world was Fred's love, and he especially enjoyed traveling by train and visiting the train museums, which I know you shared with that, Susie, and he loved those. He would come back with those stories. And he was just as bright as the sun when he was sharing those stories with us. As he aged, he gained a love for cruising, and he went on many, many memorable cruises with his cousin Susie and travel companion Susie. Now, and yes, the three of you. And so I have to tell you a couple of the stories, right? The very first cruise you guys went on, Fred come back, and Fred and I would talk, and he wasn't real sure about the first cruise. And the stories were not so much of how he enjoyed the cruise and everything, it was you walking him through the process of cruising. And he enjoyed the heck out of that so much, and there was nothing that brought him more pleasure than you planning his next cruise. He just, he would come into me with the biggest smile on his face, and he'd say, Susie's got me booked on another cruise. And then he would go on these cruises to Alaska. He loved Alaska. He loved Hawaii, Mexico. The Panama Canal was one of his favorites. And so you brought that to him and brought that out of him, and that was just a tremendous gift. He was never one to be denied an adventure. Fred was always willing to try something new. He even ziplined, which you saw up there. We didn't get a chance to share that. Jane and I were out of town when he got back from that, and we never got a chance to share that, but I can't imagine. I know I've done ziplining, and I was scared to death, so I can only imagine where Fred was at with that. Fred enjoyed listening to music, talk radio. We would share those stories. He was an avid reader and collector of Superman memorabilia. And so if everybody notices the program, you know, there's a little Superman. He used to wear that. And the other thing that I remember is he always had a Christmas sweater. He was the best at wearing Christmas sweaters. He also loved Starbucks. He loved his mochas. He was just a tremendous, you know, fan of that. Fred was preceded in death by his parents and his sister, and he is survived by his children, beloved cousin Tyr, Susan, and many, many friends. And I'd like to thank you all and share that with you. And now we're going to hear a word from Tony, our pastor.
So yes, this might get a bit repetitive, but all of us who know Fred and we remembered Fred so fondly because of what he contributed to the body, we can all only aspire to be remembered like Fred was, as somebody who just loved the body, loved the Lord, loved his family. I love that picture of him in the red shirt, you know, what a beautiful day or whatever. It's like, oh, only Fred would wear a shirt like that. Just, isn't it a glorious day? The rest of us are walking around kicking rocks, angry about something, and Fred's always happy. You guys remember when the thing about Fred is he'd always come up to me and go, "I'm glad you're here." I don't know if he said that to you guys, but he would always start everything with, you know, "I'm glad you're here." And so I started saying that back to him. "Well, I'm glad you're here, Fred." And then something I will forever miss is that he, of course, would sit back there. And as I was welcoming everybody every Sunday, I don't know if you guys could see because you're facing this way, but Fred would be going. That's why I would always say, "Hi, Fred," you know, because he was waving to me until I acknowledged him. And then, of course, we all remember that he wasn't afraid to verbally contribute, no matter what the situation was, right? And always, always wonderful things to say, always positive, always wanted to be there helping and volunteering and making anything better. It's easy to honor somebody like that. So often we do these memorial services for people that were kind of difficult to like, right? You're searching for those things that were good about this person. "Hi, Jeff. Thank you for picking up the torch." Fred's easy. This is an easy man to honor because he just loved us. He loved the body. He loved you folks so much. And so it's easy to come together and just honor and remember and love on this man. It doesn't make memorial services any easier because we still can't help but to think about when it's our turn and it's our picture and it's our video. A lot of folks don't want to have anything to do with memorial services because that's just too heavy of a thing to think about. Fred, like so many really faithful Christians, just knew that this is a temporary thing and I'll be with the Lord soon, so it's all good. And it's why I love to read this passage from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, because it really has to do with Christian death, Christian passing away, that and how it's different than when others pass away. I love that in this passage, Paul refers to Christians passing away as sleep. None of us fear taking a nap, right? Who would like to take a nap right now? Right? Of course. We love napping. We love sleeping. Sleep is good. And Paul refers to it as that. Sleep is temporary. We wake up from sleep. And it's why it's referred to as sleep. 1 Thessalonians 4:13-18. Paul says, "We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so through Jesus God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. For this we declare to you by a word from the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. And then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will always be with the Lord. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. So Paul was trying to encourage Christians. Notice in verse 13, it says we don't... He doesn't say don't grieve. He doesn't tell us not to grieve. We don't get rebuked for grieving. He says, don't grieve as others do who have no hope. We get to grieve with hope. For us, this is, we miss Fred, but also it's a glorious day as well, as Fred is now very happy where he's at. We have sorrow and joy. We have grief, but not hopelessness, as others do. Paul is he's very realistic about the grief, and he's realistic about the sorrow that death brings. Just as Jesus wept at the sorrow that death brought to the family of Lazarus. It isn't for nothing that other places in Scripture, Paul calls death the last enemy. We fight it. We fight death because it's not natural. We weren't created for death. We were created for life. We were created to live in eternity. This is why we call death the enemy. It takes people that we love away from us. So we think of it as an enemy. And they can never be replaced. And we'll never be the same. And our lives take on a new shape over a period of time. We miss them. But in the face of this enemy, our grief isn't selfish. It's normal. We grieve because we love. And the one we love is no longer here with us, so we grieve. Our hearts ache. Anything less is unnatural. It's okay to grieve. So we'll be real about grief. We can own it. We really don't get anywhere by not being honest about that reality, and the reality of death leads to that grief. But Paul says we grieve with hope. We grieve with hope. We may lose the battle in death, but in the long run, we win the war. And we say that because the next thing that Paul says is in verse 14, for since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. We believe that Jesus died and rose again. And that's the key. Jesus didn't merely die. He rose from the dead. That may seem fantastic and ridiculous to non-believers. But I believe that, and more importantly, Fred believed that. Fred believed that Jesus is risen, and therefore, he shows us the way to hope. The Lord's resurrection is the winning of the war. It's defeating the enemy. The winning of the war that trumps the losing of the battle of death. It's by trusting our lives into Jesus' hands and committing to follow him that we share this hope. He wants to share it with everyone, but it's a gift that needs to be received. For the follower of Jesus, death is like the temporary parting. While it lasts, it is full of anguish, but one day it will end, and there will be a joyful reunion. And Fred will say to me, I'm glad you're here. I like to finish these with this really cool poem by Charles Henry Brent. Many of you have probably heard it before, but I just love this poem. It says, what is dying? I am standing on the seashore. A ship sails and spreads her white sails to the morning breeze and starts for the ocean. She's an object of beauty, and I stand and watch her till at last she fades on the horizon, and someone at my side says she is gone. Gone where? Gone from my sight, that is all. She is just as large in the masts, hull and spars as she was when I saw her, and just as able to bear her load of living freight to its destination. The diminished size and total loss of sight is in me, not in her. And just at that moment when someone at my side says she is gone, there are others who are watching her coming, and other voices take up the glad shout. There she comes, and that is dying.
Hands in joyous greeting.
Thank you, guys. Let's bow our heads. Father, thank you so much for the life of Fred. We realize that you gave him to us on loan to love us and just serve this body and just love on this body, Father, to show us the way of true humility and love and patience and love like you do, Father. Thank you so much for the life of Fred. Thank you for the blessing. Thank you for the example that he set. Father, I pray for those left behind that will grieve. May they have the peace that only you can provide. Father, I also ask that you would bless the food that we're about to eat. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. See you.